Hi, my name is Robert Asher, and I am a graduate school professor in theater, film, and dance. I am also an anthropologist. I am going to be discussing the connection between myth, film, and dream. Later, I will be showing three of my short animated films. The films follow directly from the ideas that are developed in the first three segments. As you know, CyberTower presentations come with an online discussion board. I will be posing questions within any one of the segments. I encourage you to use the discussion board to enter into a discussion with me on these questions, or better yet, to pose your own questions. I hope to answer in a timely fashion. Let us begin with a general discussion of the nature of myth. Myths are ubiquitous. They are one of the few human universals. That is, they are found in every human culture. That in itself is almost sufficient for us to understand that there is something very important about myth, that there is something very central to the human endeavor in myth. Now, there is no fully accepted definition of myth, but there are, however, characterizations that are generally agreed upon. The first of these is that myths deal with origins. They may be about the origins of the sun or the moon or the sky, or they may be about plants or animals and how they came into existence. They may also be about mortality or the gods or evil and how they first came into human life. Secondly, myths are a form of narrative or story. Most of the world's myths were passed on from generation to generation over hundreds of years. And in that way, change was introduced. And there are often many variations of the same myth within one culture, and the same or a similar myth can occur across cultures. But of course, a story developed in one particular culture may not seem like a real story in another culture. For us at least, a Native Australian myth may not seem to be a real story because it has no discernible, for us at least, beginning, middle, and end. Or take humor. For example, a Native American coyote story might send a person of the Hopi Nation into peals of laughter. That same story might leave us cold. And of course, the same is true vice versa. Third, myths are often about the sacred. But here again, we must be careful. We tend to draw a very thick line between the sacred and the secular. In many other cultures, that line is nowhere to be found. In fact, there may be no line at all separating the sacred from the secular. For example, we generally do not think of rocks as being sacred, and yet for some people, rocks are sacred secular. Perhaps the most telling indication of the centrality of myth is a large number of theories that have been developed to explain their existence. Importantly, most of these theories were thought by their authors to be the theory of myth. But no one of them has replaced earlier theories in the lineup of theories that exists over a few hundred years, at least, of Western history. All of them, however, contribute something in one way or another to our understanding of myth. One theory, for example, holds that the very beauty of the language of myth is sufficient to explain its worldwide existence. Another theory argues that myths are charters. That is, they are maps, guides, or constitutions. They tell us how to behave, what to believe, and how to act in a given circumstance. Then there are a number of theories that hold that myths are universal. They are the product of the unconscious that is found in all human beings everywhere. Still, another theory sees in myths an attempt to resolve oppositions that are found in all cultures, oppositions that are, in essence, unresolvable. The author of these myths includes some of the best minds of the 20th century: Ernest Cassirer, Branislav Malinowski, Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, Claude Lévi-Strauss, just to name some. From my point of view, all of the above are partial, and all testify to the centrality of myth. And here is the question. Can you think of an American myth? I'll give you a hint. American movies often carry the basic myths of American culture. And so, by the way, do presidential speeches.